Good morning. It fell short. That's okay. We'll get that later. Hi, I'm Aramis, and I will be speaking on wisdom today, and I'll be doing that through Proverbs. So everybody, please turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance, to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, fools despise wisdom and instruction. Okay, so let's break this down. We have Solomon at the beginning, and he was the largest contributor to the book of Proverbs, although there was a group of wise men that helped edit and write it with him. And then we have the second point being verses 2 through 6, which lead up to verse 7. But 2 through 6, I think, can be broken down into two parts. Verse 2 through 4 talk about what you will receive from reading Proverbs, and 5 and 6 talk about the characteristics you might have in order to really learn something. And there's verse 7, the fear of the Lord, and that's the beginning of wisdom, and also the theme throughout Proverbs. So, I think it'd be wise for us to relearn what we know about Solomon. So please turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne this day. And now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of David, my father, although I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this, your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. And God said to him, "Because you have asked this, and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall rise after you." The point I want to draw from this story, from his beginning, is that Solomon asked for the discernment between right and wrong. Which is interesting, because you might assume that discerning between right and wrong would be a simple thing. But being a high school student and talking to my peers, I know firsthand how incredibly difficult it actually is. For example, I was having a conversation with a girl on the bus a week or so ago, and she mentioned to me that she didn't like eating meat. And I said, Why don't you like eating meat? She says, "Well, because killing animals is wrong." I said, "Killing animals is wrong. Okay. Why is killing animals is wrong?" And she said, "Well, because if we're all animals, we should be under equal rights, right? And killing is wrong." I said, "Okay. So do we all get to come up with our own moral values?" And she said, "Well, that's what I did. And I said, "Okay. So I like blue, you like orange, I like killing animals, you don't." And she didn't know how to respond to this, but she completely disagreed with me. She was not happy. But her ideal that led her moral values was moral relativism, which is actually not knowing the difference between right and wrong, and is under the assumption that it is easy. And so Solomon recognized that it wasn't easy, and that is what he asked for. Jumping back to Proverbs, we can now come back to verses 2 through 6 and break those down. Verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. So, to know wisdom and instruction. If read and applied to your life, Proverbs will help you discern between a foolish teaching and a wise one that isn't necessarily from Proverbs. And then verse 3, to receive instruction in wise dealing. I have found that it is natural for one to choose the side of the story that reaches their ears first. Unless they have learned better, know better, or are a skeptic, most people will listen to one side of a disagreement, and if it's persuasive, believe it without thinking there's anything more to the story. But Proverbs implores its readers not to rush into every concept and take every teaching step by step. Verse 4, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Discretion and wisdom are tightly bound throughout Proverbs. The youth, whom are less experienced, are more likely to say or do something that might offend someone else. And in this sentence, the simple is meaning gullible, easily enticed, and falls into traps. And so these proverbs will give that person a sense of shrewdness. And this expression is also related to devising plans, but not just plans, devising workable plans, which apparently comes short when amongst the youth who have only been alive for less than 2 decades. I don't know what they're talking about. I devise plans, great. And then we come to verse 5, let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. I find that a good example of a wise man... Oh, real quick, about this verse, did you catch that you have to have some small amount of wisdom in order to know that you need more wisdom? That's important for reading Proverbs. But then, coming to my example, a good example of a wise man seeking guidance, I think, is seen in Daniel. So please turn with me to Daniel, chapter 2, verse 26. Now what has just happened is King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, has had a dream that greatly disturbs him. And he calls together all his wise men and all his magicians to not only explain the dream, but tell him what the dream is in the first place. And none of them can do this. And as stated in verse 12, because of this, the king was angry and very furious. And he commanded that all the wise men be killed. When this news reached Daniel, who was raised to be a wise man, it says that Daniel replied with prudence and discretion to the captain of the guard. He said, "Why is the matter so urgent?" And the captain of the guard told him about the king and his predicament. And so Daniel requested a time to speak with the king, and then he went home and band together his buddies, and they prayed that God would have mercy on Daniel and tell him the dream and what it meant. So now starting at verse 26, the king declared to Daniel, "Are you able to make known to me the dream that I have seen and its interpretation?" Daniel answered the king and said, "No." Wise men and magicians are in jail right now waiting to be executed, and their only line of defense is Daniel, and when asked if he can help them out, he says, "No." He leads with that. No wise men, enchanters, magicians, or astrologers can show the king the mystery that the king has asked. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the later days. The point I want to draw out from this story is that Daniel did not depend on his own wisdom, his own experience, or his own reputation. Instead, he recognized his own limitations and needs and turned to God for guidance. So having a good example of a wise man attaining guidance, let's turn back to Proverbs, cap this off. So verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. You'll notice, reading Solomon's story, that at the beginning it says that he loved the Lord and that he walked in all his statutes, and that his fear and reverence of God led to his beginning of knowledge. Now fast forward 1,000 wives later, let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 4. For when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God, as was the heart of David, his father. Now jump forward to his son, Rehoboam. Rehoboam has just inherited the throne from Solomon after his death. And the Israelite people have one complaint to Rehoboam, and it's this: your father made our yoke heavy. Now therefore, lighten the hard service of your father and his heavy yoke on us, and we will serve you. Rehoboam considered their words and took the wise men of his day, and the wise men told him to do as the people requested and lighten the load. But instead he turned away, and he sought the counsel of men his own age, the youth that he'd grown with. And they told him, no, screw the people, you're going to make it twice as hard as them. And so that's what he did. And that was like the least wise thing he could have done. And starting at verse 16 of chapter 12 in 1 Kings, and when all Israel saw that the king did not listen to them, the people answered the king, what portion do we have in David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel. Look now to your own house, David. So Israel went to their tents, but Rehoboam reigned over the people of Israel who lived in the cities of Judah. Then King Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was taskmaster over the forced labor, and all Israel stoned him to death with stones. And King Rehoboam hurried to mount his chariot to flee to Jerusalem. So Israel has been in rebellion against the house of David to this day. You'll notice that the chapter title of chapter 12 is Rehoboam's Folly. And don't get me wrong, Rehoboam was a fool. But I have never heard of another kingdom that fell because the king that inherited the throne broke it down. So this means that all the fault lies on Solomon. Solomon, the wisest man ever to walk the earth, set his throne up one counsel away from destruction. And in verse 4, when Solomon turns his heart away from the Lord, I need to point out, Solomon did not lose his wisdom. He lost his relationship, which is important. The wisest man on earth was unwilling to heed his own wisdom because he had lost the foundation of it. This goes to show a couple things. One is that even being wise, you still have a tainted soul that doesn't have to listen to its own knowledge. All of this, I think, is interesting, summed up in verse 7 of Proverbs, where his beginning began with the fear of the Lord, but then his actions in the end showed that of a fool. On a high note, you can learn that honoring the Lord and staying in relationship with him is the best course of action. I have some applications for you today. The first one being, Proverbs promises wisdom, which is unique compared to other books of the Bible. If applied to your life, Proverbs will gift you all its wisdom. An application two is this: fear and reverence of the Lord is the foundation in which wisdom grows. And without it, the wisdom you have won't change or improve your life decisions. Also, I just want to try this one thing before I leave. God is good.
All the time.
All the time?
God is good.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, everybody. That's it.